Our scripture reading this evening is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah and chapter 54, Isaiah 54. In the preceding section, we have heard the gospel, the message of Christ crucified for sinners. Now, the prophet goes on to speak of the blessings of the gospel. First of all, the blessings of the gospel for the church, then the blessings of the gospel for each individual member of that church. So Isaiah 54, "Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations, and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, will not remember the reproach of your widowhood any more, for your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you, like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems, and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the blacksmith, who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." And may God bless the reading of his holy word. Our text this evening is found in the chapter that we read, Isaiah 54 and verse 11. "O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems, lay your foundations with sapphires." Here we have, in this chapter, what Christ's death accomplishes for the church. That it is because of Christ's death that the church is built up. Because of his offering of himself upon the cross for sins, he sees the labor of his soul and is satisfied. And there are two great images used here of the church. The one is the image of the wife the desolate wife. The second is the image of the great city, the city that is in ruins. And we see how it is that Christ's death, his offering in chapter 53, leads to both of these situations being reversed, so that the desolate wife becomes a mother of many, and the ruined city is built up with gems and precious stones. We see here, first of all, the seed of the Lord, the children who are born because of Christ's death. We see, secondly, the sanctuary of the Lord, the city that is built up. And thirdly, the security of God's people in him. The seed, the sanctuary, and the security. And first we have the seed. Jerusalem, Zion, is pictured here as a woman. A woman who has had no children, who cannot have children. She is called the barren one. And to her is fulfilled God's covenant with Abraham. A covenant in which was promised a seed, descendants, as many as the stars in the sky or the sand at the seashore. The picture is of that of desolation. One who has no children. Because without the death of Christ, the church cannot be built up. Without Christ, there is no church. Without his offering, he tells us himself, unless a grain falls into the ground, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it falls into the ground and dies, then it brings forth much grain. Christ himself on earth was the perfect man. No man ever spoke like this man. This man has done nothing wrong. This man, he has done all things well. He kept the law perfectly. No one could find any fault in him because there was no fault to find. And yet, apart from his death, he is alone. A singular person. It has been well said that if Christ's work on earth was to be a moral example, and only a moral example, because he is a moral example, he is our example in many ways. But if he's just an example to follow, then nobody has followed the example perfectly. Nobody has lived as he did. Nobody has walked exactly as he walked. And so, unless he falls into the ground and dies, unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But he did not abide alone, because he gave himself an offering. We read in the previous chapter that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He fell into the ground and died, as it were. He died. He was cut off from the land of the living. He gave himself. And what's the result? The result is a great progeny. Many descendants. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And so we have, because of him, the fulfillment of the covenant. the fulfilling of God's promises, that is, first of all, to Abraham, we are told. God said to Abraham, Genesis 15, verse 5, he brought him outside and said, "Look now towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And this was not an evening, a night in one of our cities, but a night out in the open country where the stars blaze from heaven and you soon cease to be able to number them. "Enlarge the place of your tent, let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, do not spare." And here is the picture. Abraham, who dwelt in a tent, and the tent must be enlarged to make way for the children who are to be born. The great modern missionary movement began in some ways when a cobbler named William Carey preached a sermon from this text, Isaiah 54:2, speaking of the great harvest that must come from the nations, and that the church should go forth and prepare, expecting great things from God, that God would add to his church. Therefore, attempt great things, even as God gives us strength. The seed, the numbers who are brought in because of Christ's death. And the church that is pictured as this desolate wife, this woman who is in one sense like a widow. In another sense, she is like one who's been put away by her husband. And all that is to be reversed, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. The church is the bride of Christ. Now the church, of course, is made up of the redeemed from every tribe, tongue, and nation. The redeemed from all time. And yet the church also can be seen here, pictures an entity itself. Your maker is your husband. The union of the church and God the Creator is a union that is brought about because of Christ's death. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. There is no closer relationship between two human beings than there is between a husband and a wife. The two become one flesh. And then there is spoken of your Redeemer, your Deliverer, your kinsman, the one who comes to redeem the one who is lost. The Lord of hosts, the Holy One of Israel. God the Redeemer. God does not send somebody else to do his own work, but it is God with us. Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, who bought the church with his own blood. The Apostle Paul, admonishing the Ephesian elders, told them to feed, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Because the one who died upon the cross is God. Therefore, the blood of Jesus Christ can be said to be the blood of God. We can indeed speak of the death of God in this sense, that one who is truly God died for sinners. That he who is God and man in one person died He shed his precious blood to redeem guilty sinners. He is the Redeemer. Oh, indeed, God's church suffers because of our sins. But he says, for a mere moment I have forsaken you. The time when he seems afar off is a mere moment. But with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. God's anger with his church over her sins is but for a moment and is but little, but his kindness towards his people is everlasting. The everlasting covenant here secures the kindness of God, because his kindness is all that we can trust in. Not our works, not our deserving, but his kindness. And his kindness to his church is everlasting. And so we can come and pray for the church, knowing that he will gather in his own. And then he speaks secondly of the sanctuary. The sanctuary, the city that is to be built up. We have in verses 9 and 10 the picture of the fulfillment of the covenant with Noah. There is a covenant with Noah that God made back in Genesis. A covenant, a promise that he made that he would not destroy the earth by water. God remembered Noah and every living thing in the ark, and God made his covenant. And he said, thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the water of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. The covenant with Noah. This is like the waters of Noah to me. He's speaking of his judgments to be brought upon the church in the Old Testament. And he says, as I have sworn the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. Again, the church is comforted by this covenant. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. It is all of mercy. And that mercy is through the cross of Jesus Christ. The everlasting mercy is made known here and nobody and nowhere else. In Christ and in nobody else do we know the mercy of God. And we have this wonderful picture of the city being built up. The afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted. The ruins of the city that are lashed by the storm. And God says, I will lay your stones. The city is to be rebuilt. Now that is wonderful enough to see us think of a city being rebuilt. But the picture here is beyond anything natural. I will lay your stones with colourful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make you your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. Here is the beauty of Zion, a city of gems. A city built out of gemstones. those things that are precious, value, beautiful and glorious. And the city is built out of them, because God's church is not built out of ordinary materials. God's city is not a city that is built out of ordinary things, but it is extraordinary, it is supernatural. It is a city that shows the glory of God, who is the builder. The beauty of Zion, but also he speaks of this sanctuary, this beautiful sanctuary that is to be a place of holiness, of righteousness, because there is a new covenant that he is going to make. And this new covenant, or we might say renewed covenant in some sense, is a covenant with his people. And all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. God says elsewhere to the prophet Jeremiah, long after Isaiah was laid in the grave, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though as a husband to them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God. They shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. So here is another covenant that is fulfilled here, fulfilled to God's people. Covenant, the new covenant, sealed in Jesus' blood when he says, this cup is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So that all in that city are righteous. In righteousness you shall be established, not a righteousness of your own, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. For by his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. A city, a sanctuary of righteousness, because of what God has done in Jesus Christ, in his cross. A city of righteousness. And so we see these covenants fulfilled. There's a sense in which we can look and say, and all these are aspects of a great covenant of grace, a great and solemn covenant that God himself has made, great and precious promises sealed by the blood of Christ, fulfilled by God's glorious work. And thirdly, we see the security that God gives. The city is secure. The fulfillment of the covenant with Noah, that is part of that security. That is what secures the people of God, that God has sworn, I will not take vengeance upon them. Because Christ has borne their sins. Christ has borne the vengeance of God upon himself. And so he says to his church, that you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. And here we have the now and the not yet of the covenant. The people of God are now persecuted. We hear daily the persecution of God's church, and yet and yet it cannot touch God himself, nor can it touch the church triumphant. And the day is coming when there shall be a new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Far from oppression, for you shall not fear. Whom shall I fear on earth below with such a God to guide, asked the hymn writer. Who can we fear if God leads us and guides us? And indeed we suffer, yet possessing every blessing, if our God, our Father, be. Indeed, he says, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. The enemies of God shall come against the church, but the promise here is this. They will not any longer be sent by God himself. And so they will fail. Because I have created the blacksmith. In ancient times, the mighty weapons were those made of iron. The blacksmith would make in his forge the swords, the spearheads, the arrowheads. And he would forge the weapons that were to be used. I have created the blacksmith, he says. And I've created the spoiler to destroy. Therefore, to the church of God, he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The persecution of the church always ultimately fails. And it will ultimately fail when Christ comes again. And all his enemies shall be defeated. We have that picture that the Apostle Paul gives of the man of lawlessness, who exalts himself against God, whom Christ shall destroy. How? With his breath, with his word. A word shall quickly slay him, as Dr. Luther put it. The breath of his mouth destroys his enemy. Hence the picture in the Revelation of Christ with a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. For his word is enough to slay all his foes. So that all God's people are secure. Why? Because God is their security. Zion is secure because God is her security. The city is guarded not by armies of men, not by what we do, not even by armies of angels, but by God himself. The Almighty is in the midst of his people. And so no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage, the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness, he says, is from me. That is to say, it's not a matter of the righteousness of God's people that they work out themselves. But it's because Christ has died that we are secure. We are in that position of John Bunyan, who was much exercised with the question of righteousness and sin until it came to him, my righteousness is in heaven. What does he mean by that? Jesus Christ, the Lord, our righteousness. This is the name by which he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. If Christ is my righteousness, and he is in heaven, then I am secure. Because I'm not dependent on my performance, but on his performance. The church doesn't depend ultimately, and we are so thankful it doesn't, on our performance, but on his. And because we depend on him, we are set free then to serve him, to walk in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. You see, the righteousness of Christ, the imputed righteousness of Christ, does not mean that we become lazy, but it means the opposite sets us free to work not for righteousness, but from righteousness. It sets us free no longer to fear. Am I accepted? Am I loved? But to say, to look at the cross of Jesus Christ and say, I am accepted. I am loved. The Christian can look back and remember our baptism. Baptized into Christ. What is baptism? It's a word from God to the one baptized. A word that, like all the other words of God, is accepted by faith. And it says this: you are incorporated into Christ. You were buried with him in baptism, the scripture says, and raised again. That you are united to him, says baptism. You were united to Christ by faith. You are in him and he in you. You are accepted by God for Christ's sake. That's what baptism says. That's the word that it speaks to everyone baptized. To everyone. That is the common teaching of the whole church. The common teaching of Scripture on baptism. It's a word from God. Remember that. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. And so he speaks for the church. This is what the church receives from Christ. The church is built up through Christ. Because of Christ's death, the church is built. Because of Christ's death, the church is secure. Because of Christ, all this happens. Oh, you afflicted one, he says to his church, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Behold, I will lay your stones with colourful gems, and lay your foundations with sapphires. Oh, you afflicted church, he says. And he says this to the universal church, which is made manifest in the local church. You afflicted one. The church is afflicted. The church here on earth is militant, is fighting. But oh, we look forward indeed to that new Jerusalem, that city of gems that is to come down from God. That city built not with human hands, but by God himself. Oh, you afflicted one, I will build, he says. And Christ says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Oh, may God grant indeed the building of his church here to his own glory. Amen.